Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, this is an exciting day. I am so happy. I have one of my favorite authors in the world on the program today, Kathy Ace. Well, she's an ace for hearts to me. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, good morning. What a lovely introduction. Thank you, Patsy.
Oh, just to hear your voice makes me happy. And you are so delightful. I want to say something. This is so wonderful. When I saw your newest book, book 12, in your Kate Morgan mystery series, and the title is The Corpse with the Turquoise Toes.
It is.
Isn't
that a puzzling title?
It
what
is.
What does it mean, I wonder?
I don't know. The lovely thing about it is that the cover is so gorgeous. I mean, you want to make a poster of it and put it in your kitchen and look at it every morning.
Oh, I'm so pleased you like it. You know, I must admit, it's very much a sky movement photograph, and I've been into bookstores and seen it on the shelves, and oh my word, it pops. I'm so thrilled with how it works to attract people's attention, because, of course, that's what every writer wants to do, is attract people's attention to their books. So I think it's doing a good job on that, and if I'm feeling a bit down, all I need to look at is that cover, and it lifts my spirit.
Well, absolutely. And I've had it, and I look at it, and I love it. And I really would. If you put it on your website and you make a poster out of it, I bet you could sell that.
Oh, do you know what? I might do that, but I'd rather sell the book.
Well, yes, of course. But, you know, it's a great way for people to remember you. And I want to tell people that not only is the cover great, when you think of Kathy Ace, once you meet Kathy Ace anywhere at a writer's event, wherever she goes, these colors in this, you know, in this cover are you. You, because you shine, you are so vibrant. I just loved when we met here at the Vinoy Hotel here, you know, for BoucherCon. My goodness, it seems, you know, so long ago.
But it feels like such a long time ago, doesn't it? I can't believe it, actually.
I know. And there you were, the most colorful person. You were the most colorful.
Dressed colorfully there.
Huh? Yeah, well, of course, it's Florida, but you stood out from everybody else, I'm telling you. And this same wherever I've seen you. You always stand out, which, as you said, you want people to notice the cover of your book, but you also want people to notice you and remember you.
There is that. However, what I will say is, it's lovely of you to call me the Ace of Hearts. I think that's probably because I'm a bit too old now to be the Queen of Clubs. But I've always dressed the way I've dressed. And I think the interesting thing is, I really pick things up wherever I travel, and I do travel a great deal, as does Kate Morgan. So I've ended up with a fairly eclectic collection of what I call over thingies, which means that as I age and my shape and so forth, all I need to keep doing is replacing the standard under thingies, because the over thingies go with anything.
Oh, you're so cute. You're adorable. Well, what did you pick up? You were just over on the other side of the pond. What was happening over there?
Well, yes, I don't know if people know, but what they're hearing is a Welsh accent here. Although I live in Canada now, and I'm on the West Coast, so you're getting my deep and sultry voice because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. But I was in Wales. My family is still in Wales. I'm from Wales. My husband's from Wales. His family's still in Wales. And I should have been there a couple of years ago to celebrate a significant birthday. But, of course, that was put on pause for a couple of years. But I was very fortunate to get back to be with my mum and my sister and my husband and his brother and my sister-in-law, all for my birthday in May. So we had a birthday celebration, and I got to spend a couple of weeks of true quality time with my mum, having not seen her for a few years. So it was just a wonderful visit, and I did, you're quite right, pick up a couple of over thingies that have a slight Celtic flavour to them, but I think they'll fit nicely into the offerings that I've got for all of the future events that, fingers crossed, will happen and I'll be able to attend.
Well, yes, I hope that we can start attending more events again. I don't know, you know, the last BoucherCon I did was the one in Dallas. Nobody went anywhere for a while there.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know it was the last one, but we had a heck of a time there, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
I just did attend my first in-person event, which was Crime Fest in Bristol in England while I was over in the UK in May. And that was a sort of almost a metaphysical experience, really, because I kept seeing people I hadn't seen for 3 years. And, you know, I'll just tell you this and hope nobody's listening. It's amazing how they've aged, and I haven't changed a bit.
So tell us about this event. I love Bristol, by the way.
Yes, Bristol is a beautiful city. And there is, in the US, there's a Left Coast Crime that's held every year. It's occasionally held in Canada because we also have a Left Coast, of course. And in fact, I was honored to be Toastmaster there when it was held in Vancouver. But about, I think it's about 11 or 12 years ago now. Sorry, COVID gap in my knowledge there. It was held in the UK, and from then on, a sort of a sister festival has grown up, which is Crime Fest, which has been held in Bristol every year, and it's the largest convention of its type in the UK, on the standard convention model, lots of panels running multi-track at the same time, like a small version of BoucherCon, but with a distinctly British and European flavour. We're very fortunate to get writers from across the world. I mean, I was there from Canada. I was on a panel with Andrew Child, who was one of my favorite authors, now doing a great job with his brother, and Felix Francis, incredibly English writer, although, of course, his famous father, Dick Francis, was in fact born in Wales and raised there. I should mention that, I suppose. But it's a very eclectic gathering, and it was just a smashing time to see familiar faces, albeit we've all got a few wrinkles more. What the heck? We still managed to hug and have a great time. But it was a bit weird, and when it was over, it was almost as though I dreamt it, because I'd been wanting it to happen, and it hadn't happened for so long. But it happened in person, which was great, whereas the Crime Cymru Festival ended up taking place online. It should have been a gathering in Aberystwyth in May, but we had to make a decision in February about doing it in person or face-to-face because of planning, and the decision at that time was to do it online, which actually has a great thing as a hangover, which is people can still enjoy that festival online because it was all recorded on YouTube, and it's free. And our aim is to get the word out about Welsh crime writers to the world. So all folks have to do is go along to the Crime Cymru website, which is CrimeCymru website, and you can link there to the festival free online.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. Now, but still, to have the festival where you have real people, it's
I
nice.
I know. Yeah. It's different. And the plan is that in Aberystwyth next year, it will be an in-person festival, which will make a real difference to everybody, you know? The hugging alone, Patsy. You know I'm a big hugger.
I know.
The hugging alone is lovely. Even if you're masked when you do it, have a hug.
Well, definitely. And if you're sitting next to Andrew Grant, or Drew, as I call him, you want a hug.
Yes. Yeah, he's such a lovely chap, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
And as is his brother. And, you know, as brothers go, I think they get on very well. And thank goodness they write so well together, because I did not want to see Jack Reacher disappear, nor do any of us, except at the end of the book where he gets on a bus and leaves town because he's sorted everything out. But otherwise, I need him in my life, yes.
Yes, you're right. And so it's fun, actually, to see... to see how Drew has done this, melding together, you know, his Andrew Grant, Andrew Child persona now, and having fun with the Jack Reacher, because as you said, we all need Jack Reacher. We love to have him come to town and fix things. I'm in my little hometown in northern Michigan, I keep praying that Jack Reacher would come there and fix that town, because we got some problems.
Oh, heck, it sounds like an interesting place to have left. Possibly the best movie.
Well, you know, one of the things that you've won awards, and you've been nominated for so many awards, and you've accomplished so much. But what really impressed me was that one of your stories was chosen for the O-levels. Explain that. How did that happen, and what did you feel like?
Well, the feeling was extraordinary and full of disbelief, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, it's going back a bit now, but for those who might not know, O-levels are the exams that all British children take, or used to take. They're now called the GCSEs, at 16 years of age in the UK. And as such, they have a syllabus they have to follow. And of course, when you're in school, you reckon that everything on the syllabus is the most boring thing you've ever been forced to read in your entire life. So as part of a movement to make books a bit more interesting, this collection of short stories called Thrillers was introduced to the syllabus. And the short stories in there were by Peter Lovesey, Elizabeth Ferrers, Marjorie Allingham, Ruth Rendell, Dick Francis, and Ray Bradbury. And me. I was the only person I'd never heard of. It was an extraordinary feeling. And the short story was a short story called Dear George, and it really is what began my career. I mean, you can't make one career out of a short story, but that gave me a boost. And then that short story was picked up by the wonderful actor Martin Jarvis to be produced for a BBC Radio 4 afternoon program. And that was broadcast, and it was my mum and my dad. I mean, they were pretty much exploding with pride back in Wales, and my husband and I were listening here in Canada. And sadly, shortly thereafter, my dad passed away. But that was the spur, I suppose, I needed to say, you know, if you're going to write fiction, you've got this nugget of success. Do something with it, take it forward, and do what you can with it. And that's what the last 10 years have really sprung from, is me, yeah, let's be honest, trying to make my mum and dad proud as possible of their daughter, by doing something that I'm actually loving every minute of, I'm pleased to say. So from that one small story have come, well, I'm currently writing my 20th book, 18th novel, and yeah, I couldn't be happier, actually.
Well, I got such a kick out of that, first because of the name of the story, Dear George.
That's it, yes.
And George is my favorite name. I name everything George. I have a, I have a 12-foot giraffe outside my front door, and his name is George. And every morning I say good morning to him. When I was a kid, I named everything George. It didn't matter. I named girl dolls George. I named my dog George. Everybody was George. Everything was George. And my car, my first car was George.
Well, of course it was. Well, yes. Look, in that case, I'll apologize to you personally, Patsy, for messing with the name George in your head and everybody else.
No, I love it. It's a beautiful story. It's wonderful. And I'm sure you're, you know, knowing how happy to be selected. And as you said, among this group of authors, to have your story selected and then to know all those kids are reading it, at least, you know, that's not bad.
Yes, yes. I'm now on the list of the most hated authors, no doubt.
No.
That's what happens with set books, isn't it?
No, but I'm sure they enjoyed that story. And
you know what? For me, a great deal of joy has come from it anyway, because of pushing forward with the writing. And so I'm very grateful, incredibly grateful for that. And I'm so pleased my dad was around to know about that part of it, at least. And now my mum gets to read all of my books pretty much first and reads them many times over. She's reached the age now where she can get to the end of a series and then go back to the beginning because she's forgotten quite a bit of it. So she's happy about that, and so am I.
Well, of course, I love all your books. I love all your I looked this morning just to double check because I really almost have you. You're almost a full shelf now on my bookshelf. You know, I have like 3,000 books, but there is a shelf now devoted to you, and I've got.
Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, I mean I love him. But my favorite one that really started me off reading you was The Case of the Dottie Dowager, because.
Oh, I'm glad you liked that one.
I did. You know, well, when I saw the title, of course, I saw the title and I immediately thought of Lord Peter Wimsey's mother, yep. The Dowager Duchess of Denver. And so I had to read that book.
Well, I'm very pleased you enjoyed it. That's the Wise Inquiries Agency series, which features my lovely quartet of female detectives. One is Welsh, one is Irish, one is Scottish, one is English, W-I-S-E. And whilst they are aided and abetted, or maybe hindered, by the Dowager Duchess Althea in their investigations, I do like to see the way that four women are able to work together, using each of their strengths to build a better team than even each of the individuals are. And I like the dynamic of four women working together and supporting each other and getting on with running a business that's relatively successful.
Well, I think they are delightful stories. I really enjoy, I think there are four in that series, right? Something like that?
Well, Patsy, I can give you breaking news. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm writing the fifth at the moment.
Goody, goody. Oh, that's great.
There's a new book coming, and I can share with you the title of it. Would you like to know what it's called?
Oh, yes.
The Case of the Disgraced Duke.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, this is fantastic. This is breaking news on Joy on Paper.
I love that voice. I love that voice.
Fantastic.
There'll be newspapers swirling around as they come off the presses in my head when you say that.
Oh, we are all going to be looking forward to that one. But my goodness, you now have a dozen of the Kate Morgan. That's pretty.
Indeed, I'm pleased to say, yes.
Wow. And, well, why don't you tell us?
I've rather given her my attention in the past. Well, during lockdown, actually, four books in that series have come out through lockdown because of the television deal, because I know they want more and more and more titles to make into television programs.
Yeah, I
so
know.
I did feel a little bit of pressure on that front.
So tell us a little bit about the television program, because I mean, from the very beginning, it always happens with me when I read a book and I see it in my head. You know, I see it as a film in my head. That gives me such a kick, you know, because I've worked in Hollywood. And so when I read a book and it turns into a film in my head, and by the end of the book, I'm almost surprised I'm reading a book.
Do you know, Patsy, honestly, that is the biggest compliment you could have given me. And I'll tell you why. When I'm plotting a book, I do it in my head. And I invent the book like a film, like a movie, moving forward in my head, scene by scene, character by character, until I've got the whole film in my head. Then I do my outlines, my plot details, my research. Then I write the book. And I see my job as being getting the film that was in my head onto the paper without the words getting in the way. And I hope that when people read my books, they feel as though they've experienced them rather than having necessarily read them. But that said, yes, do I, when I see the film in my head, have I got actual people in my mind's eye? And Kate Morgan, well, look, she's Welsh, Canadian, you know, Welsh like me, moved to Canada like me. She's short like me. She likes her food like me. She's a bit bossy like me. She dresses believing that the fashion police shouldn't exist like me. So she's a bit like me. And I really hadn't envisaged a particular actor in her role. But now that we're at the casting stage for the 2-hour movie they're going to be making of the first book, The Corpse with the Silver Sun, I've really got to think about who it should be. And I would love to tell you what our conversations have revolved around and who's been approached, but I can't, I'm sorry, because you with a Hollywood background know that there comes a point where you just have to shut your gob and wait until there are official announcements about things. And I can't say anything other than we have a script. I'm delighted with it. It's been through me a couple of times and the production company. Very, very happy with the way that the distillation of Kate's character and Bud's character are shown within the script. But more than that, I can't say. I'm so sorry.
Oh, but
very exciting.
Once they let you talk about it, then you'll come back and tell us more about it, because this is such an exciting process. That you've come out with this wonderful series with a brilliant idea, a wonderful character, and then to get it optioned and then to get it now actually going into production is so exciting.
It is, but it's a long road. And you know what, Patsy, the other thing I'm learning is there's many a twixt between cup and lip. What is it? No, many a slip. Between cup and lip. That's it. In other words, you can be bringing it towards your face and it still pours all over you. So let's just keep our
fingers crossed
that everything goes swimmingly.
Yes, well, Hollywood is a strange place. I had three of my spec scripts were optioned, and they're still in turnaround. But you've gotten much further, and I think where you're going. Because I think you really came out with a series here that people are going to enjoy so much, a character that people are going to enjoy. And all of your stories, you have a freshness to them. Right down the line, when I think of the ones, as I said this morning, I looked at my I have a whole wall of cozy mysteries. Because my sister is in our area. She's called the connoisseur of cozy mysteries. She knows cozy mysteries. I mean, she's been reading them for years, and she's like a little walking encyclopedia. And so we share this wall of cozy mysteries. And so I went and I went and just to check what I have. And I love the titles, like Sapphire Eyes, Garnet Face was one, and which one was it? Crystal Skull. I love that book.
Oh, you like a bit of Jamaica. I mean, because each book is set in a different country or location, I think people enjoy them because, well, let's be honest, especially through lockdown, what a great way to travel. Sitting at home, each book is in a different place and you get to solve a puzzling mystery, right?
Exactly.
But the Crystal Skull is set in Jamaica. There's a lot of, like, Ian Fleming stuff, the connection with Captain Henry Morgan, of course, who's Welsh and shares a name with Kate. But I was actually finishing that book sitting on a cruise ship in the Caribbean when lockdown happened. So I was one of the people hightailing back to Canada at the very last moment, clutching my throat and slapping a mask on my face and thinking, oh, will this book ever get published? It took a little while, but it did come out. And I'm so pleased you enjoyed it, because I really did enjoy writing that and bringing my love of Caribbean life, and particularly like the history of Jamaica, to readers around the world.
And I will tell you, one of the reasons I recall that is it did come out during this whole pandemic-y thing. For a long time, they had closed our pool. They just wouldn't let anyone in the pool. But you could take your chair and move it far away from everybody else. And so I read that actually by my pool. And I will say I indulged in a rum drink or two.
Good for you.
Well, I tend to do that. You know, if there's a drink in in a book, I tend to gravitate to that. You know.
Oh, my word. Well, be careful if ever you're reading the second in the series then, because what I did in that book, which is set in vineyards in British Columbia, I titled every chapter with what Kate drank in that chapter. So one of the chapters is called A Flight of Reds, I think. And so please be careful with that one. It's definitely a drink along a book, that one.
Well, it's funny. You know, in A Gentleman in Moscow, in that book, the main character is always making coffee up on the roof. And so I... and drinking it out of a tin cup. So... I still drink my coffee out of a tin cup in honor of,
you know,
so I get really into these characters.
Well, good for you. I mean, in my defense, I will say one of the chapters in that book is titled Kopi Luwak. So you could really treat yourself to a very fancy coffee there. But I think one of the chapters is also called Listerine and Cup of Soup. So, you know, there are different things that she drinks.
Well, and really one of the nice things about them filming your series is that the action takes place in different places. So you have a lot of location shooting, hopefully.
Yes. Yes, the first book is set in the south of France. The Corpse with the Silver Tongue features on a gentleman who's moved from the UK to the south of France. And it therefore allows for wonderful vistas and location shooting. And there's a backstory going on around Vancouver in Canada. So I'm delighted that the plan is that the shooting will take place in both true, real locations. And that is the plan for the whole series going forward, which does present some challenges, particularly in the world as it is these days. But I think those are surmountable challenges, given that it's a world now where so many people want what they call a global product in television terms, that they are likely to be able to film everywhere each book is set, which is, you know, as far afield as, well, Mexico, Jamaica, Budapest, Amsterdam, Wales, Vegas, the Pacific coast of Mexico. So the books get about, and the plan is that the series will be shot in true locations.
Oh, and, well, you know, I don't know, you're not doing the entire script yourself, right?
I didn't want to.
No.
Having seen the wonderful job the screenwriter did, I'm so pleased I didn't. The way that he's distilled a whole book into what will be 2 hours of viewing is a skill set I just don't possess. I couldn't have ripped my work apart and put it back together again with the alacrity that he's shown. It's the essence of everything is there, but it's been trimmed down to make it even more cinematographically acceptable. And I could not have done that, I don't think.
Well, it's very difficult for an author to do that. I had several assignments where I had to take a book and do exactly that, turn it into a script. And sometimes one author came to me and said, I think you only used 120 words from my book. I said, yeah, but those were the most important words.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's interesting. The plan was for this, what will be a pilot, to be 90 minutes. But as they were working on it, they decided to go up to a 2-hour format. For which I'm very grateful, because I do think you're able to get much more meat out of a book into 2 hours. And the Kate Morgan mysteries are relatively complex plots. There are more layers than might initially be obvious in them. And I didn't want any of those key points to be lost working through. And none of them have been. They're all in there. I'm absolutely thrilled about that.
That's true. I was going to mention that your books, why I enjoy your books so much and why we have this shelf just lined with your books, there's depth to them. Your characters have depth. The stories all have depth. Where does that come from? How hard have you worked on making sure that not just the main character is, you know, has a backstory and a background, how do you work on that? How do you come out with these character ideas?
Well, I'm a bit OCD when it comes to plotting. So once I've come to that point in my head where I've seen the film from beginning to end, I then sit down and start making notes. And all of the... Because Kate and Bud are the only characters who are in each book, there are recurring characters in some books, but essentially there's a fresh cast of characters each time we meet them. I want to make sure that those characters are as real to the reader as they are to me. So I sit down and do a whole biography of each of those supplementary characters, right to the point of where their parents might have come from, where they're likely to have gone to school. Because Kate is a psychologist, and because all of these puzzles are solved by understanding the psychology of the criminal mind, I need the psychology of each of those supplementary characters to have some truth in it, enough truth in it that the book makes sense. And I also need to write a whole bunch of likable characters. What I want my characters to be is relatable. We've all known people who are wonderful on the outside, and then you bite into them and they melt away and they're disgusting. Or we'll meet people who've got a bit of a hard shell, and we get to know them a bit, and we realize that that shell's been built up over years to protect an essentially soft center. We all, as readers and people who live fascinating lives ourselves, know how the external aspect of a person can differ to the internal aspect. So unless I, as an author, have gone to the internal aspect, I would otherwise end up just showing the reader the external aspect, and that's not what I want to do. I want the reader to crunch into that character and find out the truth of them, along with Kate and Bud, as they investigate. So I do put a lot of effort into those supplementary characters in terms of developing them and then hoping they come across on the page.
Well, they do. None of your characters in your books ever come away as throwaways. You know, so often, I read a lot, and my sister, of course, reads cozy mysteries, and we read so much. And one of her pet peeves is when writers will put in just throwaway characters. They'll mention them sort of in passing, and we don't know anything about them. And all of your characters have this depth and this layers, which is why you are such a great writer.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm going to go through the day on a little cloud of happiness now. Thank you very much. And that's going to help me with my writing today. Thank you very much indeed, because I'm plodding through this. I'm on a very tight deadline for this book. And I knew that I wanted to introduce a particular pair of characters. I'm not going to say too much, but I've been struggling with how to make a pair of siblings similar but different. And because I was up early drinking a lot of coffee before speaking to you this morning, a penny dropped. And I've come up with a way of doing it, I think, that will work for the reader. So not only has speaking to you helped, but getting ready to speak to you has helped already.
Well, I am so happy. Oh, you know, I think it's just wonderful that you're going to be doing this series, because I want people to read your books. I love your books. They are always, as I said, a great read, a great see. You know, you see it in your head. And I hope you're going to have lots of fun going around to the shoots. And as a matter of fact, when you're ready to shoot in Hungary, that's a corpse with the ruby lips. Maybe I'll join you and we can meet over in Hungary. How about that? For goulash.
Oh, it's a fabulous place, isn't it?
Isn't it? I love it. There aren't many places I want to go anymore in the world, but I don't know. I just want to go back to Hungary.
Yeah, I was very lucky to spend as much time there as I did. And that's the great thing. You know, I've spent a professional life traveling the world for work, working places, staying places for a long time. And now I'm able to take readers there. So, yes, Budapest is a magical place.
Oh, it is.
It's almost like it's from a fairy tale. It's hard to believe it's real in many ways. And that's the Budapest that Kate gets to see, although dreamlike morphs into nightmarish. But there we are.
Oh, I do hope it. So when you're ready to shoot that one, you tell me. And maybe I'll book a flight over, and we'll meet over there together and watch them film it. And
stand by the river and sing the Blue Danube.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Kathy, I just want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper, because you are a joy. You bring a lot of joy to all of your readers, and I know with the television, it's going to be streaming video, feature film.
Again, that's something
we don't know. We can't tell. We can't say when you're ready to announce it. When you're ready for the release, will you come back here and tell my listeners?
I will indeed.
Because
you yourself are a joy. I mean, absolutely a joy on paper and a joy on the airwaves.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I'm just really so grateful to you for calling in today. Everybody up in Canada had a rougher time than we did with all the lock-ins and lockouts, and I don't know what was going on with you people.
Well, you know, the thing is, every individual had a very different experience of that whole period of time. And as authors, we've all got to address how are we going to use that in our work. And
you used it well.
To not mention it at all.
Well, you used it well. Yeah, no, yeah. You don't want to mention it in books. I don't want any more pandemic-y books. But
No.
Used your time well, because
I applied myself.
Boy, prolific. This is your middle name.
Well, you know what? It was a good use of my time, I think, and it allowed me to travel to Jamaica, and then I forced Bud and Kate to stay at home and find a dead body almost literally on their doorstep. Then I took them off to London, England, and then off to the Arizona desert. So I got a boat through their eyes while I was sitting here at home.
Well, you did a brilliant job, as always. I think in my Facebook post this morning, I said that you went to England, and I should have said you went to Wales,
I did go to England as well. I was in
England
for 4 days.
Oh, good.
With Mum for a couple of weeks.
Well, you know, I had a store in Cardiff. I had a store in Cardiff, so I spent a great deal of time in Wales.
I went to university.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to talk about that someday, because I had 8 stores in England, and one of them was in Cardiff, and I think that was, other than the one in London at Harrods where I had a store, other than that, the one in Cardiff was my favorite, because I used to go down there. And I love it. So I'm just so, so happy that you're here. And so you were happy to see the Jubilee?
Well, I've had my head down over my laptop for the past, since I got back from the UK. So I really haven't seen much of anything. The bits that I've seen have been highly entertaining. And I do love me a bit of pageantry. And I particularly enjoyed the Trooping of the Colour. Because that for me I love the format of it.
And there's Welshmen there. Okay, well, I want to thank you again. Kathy Ace, real easy to find her. You know, that's an easy name. And the new book is The Corpse with the Turquoise Toes. The cover is beautiful. I love it. And of course, this one takes place actually in America. So
It does.
Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. And everybody, get this book. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for having me, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye.
All right. She is lovely. And that's Kathy with a C, the proper British way. I suppose the Welsh way of writing Kathy with a C. Okay. Well, we're going to do a very, very lovely book buzz that Devon Miller has done for a book that I got such a kick out of this book. So here's Devon Miller's book buzz for June of 2022.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Talk Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. It's summer, and that means it's the perfect time to have some fun in the sun. Perhaps go to the beach, maybe go camping. But maybe you're not sure what to do for the summer. I think listening to this book buzz right now is a sign that maybe you should have fun by reading this great book called It's a Sign, written and illustrated by Jarrett and Jerome Pumphrey, along with Mo Willems. It's the 9th book in the Elephant and Piggy-like reading series. A few years ago, Jerome and Jarrett were talking about the Elephant and Piggy books with their brother Eric, saying how they were inspired by the books Mo Willems created. Jerome and Jarrett soon hoped that they could make books like Mo Willems one day, even hoping they could collaborate with him on an Elephant and Piggy-like reading book. After hearing from Mo Willems' editor, Jerome and Jarrett were then presented with the opportunity to work with Mo Willems for the book, It's a Sign. Meet 1, 2, Cat, and 4. These four characters are starting a club, but the question is, what should their club be called? Given that they're all great at something, hopefully they're given a sign as to what they should name their club. If you find yourself enjoying this book, then join the club. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With Z, and I'm back for a few minutes. I have a few more minutes, and I want to talk about a couple of things. Now, it was so much fun to talk to Kathy Ace, because ever since I started reading her, and that was about 10 years ago, right from the day I started reading her books, I knew that she had a winner. I could tell her writing is solid, her writing is good, and as I said, she has depth to it. She has really, she thinks out her characters. When she introduces a character, she really makes you see the character. And this is all part of how you become a writer. And I was happy that I was able to talk to her about this short story that she wrote that really started her career. Because she had been a businesswoman. She had traveled all over with her husband. She was not a writer. And then 10 years ago, she got the idea to, she wanted to write like so many of you. And I've been getting some more emails from you. You know, the pandemic's over, and you said, as a matter of fact, I got one very funny one. I said, oh my goodness, the pandemic's over. I wish it'd come back because I didn't use the opportunity to write, and now I'm too busy. So you have to make the decision if you're going to write. But look at what's happened here with Kathy Ace. She started writing 10 years ago. She wrote one short story, which was picked up of all places. I mean, you would not expect this to happen. This is a very rare and unusual thing that her short story was picked up to go into the syllabus, the school exams. In England, they're called O-levels. You have the O-levels and the A-levels. So it was I suppose the A-level syllabus would have been much more difficult. I'm sure that the story, you know, was just the right level because in England, they take the O-levels at the age of 16. So it was a nice story called Dear George, and that was it. I mean, after that, once your story is picked up because part of a syllabus, along with all sorts of famous authors, you know, you're on your way. You realize that, yeah, my goodness, I have some talent here. And she just honed her talent, I will say that. And she learned right from the get-go how to paint a picture, how to take us to the locations. Now, of course, with her, she had traveled to many of these locations. She's been to those places. And she just is so good at just taking us there. And that's why now her book, her series, this wonderful Kate Morgan series, has been picked up. And not just optioned, it looks like it's going to go into production, which is so wonderful. And it's all because she decided 10 years ago, after having a career of 30-some years in a completely different area, to start writing. And this can happen to you, even if you don't get, you know, to the point where you have 12 books in your series, but where you are so proud of yourself and your family is so proud of you because you've written a book. And you have a book to give them, a book to share with them, a book that, you know, will go down in your family because you've written something. I wish, none of my relatives ever wrote anything. And so this is the magic. And that's why I was so happy that Kathy could call in today because I've been really following her career for this, you know, I've been here now a little over 7 years. I've gone through a lot of books with her in this 7 years, ever since I met her. And so it's exciting. It's just so, so exciting. And I hope that all of you will think about starting to write and getting it all down on paper. And then when you get it down on paper, make sure that you get a copyright. And that reminds me that Bill Larson is going to be coming in. So if you have any intellectual property questions, send them to me, and I will ask Bill to explain the law, because have you noticed in the news there have been quite a few lawsuits lately. Quite a few songwriters are suing each other because they've stolen the words from one song to another song, not the lyric, not the music itself, the actual lyrics. So there's been a lot of this going on, and Bill Larson will tell you about how you can protect yourself, protect your words, protect your and the different ways that and sort of. Systems that you can do to protect yourself. And again, somebody, one of my people, one of my listeners who started listening 6 years ago, but not too carefully to Bill Larson, went ahead and sent her animal, her stuffed animal, to some place, a country I suppose I shouldn't mention, and they did produce it. They produced it for her. But then she discovered they produced it for everybody. It was not protected. She didn't even know you could trademark. I mean, you hear about, well, Disney trademarks everything. Well, yeah, duh. If you have a character, a stuffed animal character, that you want to trademark, that you want to sell, trademark it, please. Do not send it to some foreign country where they will make not just the sample they send back to you, but then they will make 1 million of them and send them to somebody else and sell them somewhere else. So please, please, you have to check with Bill Larson. Send me an email at patsy.radio@gmail.com, and I will give your questions to Bill Larson. I want to also thank, we didn't have time to play a Jim Lamb today. We're going to play more of Jim Lamb's elements of writing, because this, again, is a part of what I've been telling you about learning how to write. Once you get that excitement of getting your words on paper, then learning and understanding what's happening with your words, how to use your words. And there are just many, many things that can help you. And so I'm going to be playing a lot of Jim Lamb's things over the summer, because I want, you know, for those of you who have a sort of a long summer, and sometimes it's your parents are taking your kids to different events. You're going here, you're going there, you're going to lessons, you're going to the pool to watch the kids swim. Take a pad of paper. You do not need a computer with you. You do not need anything with you. All you do is a pencil and a pen and a piece of paper, a notebook, and start writing, and you can do it. You know, Aaron Blabby was on the program a few weeks ago, and he wrote his first story on toilet paper. And I don't know if you've noticed, but they've been running commercials for his wonderful Bad Guys animated movie all over the place. And here he was on Joy on Paper, and he told us about how he wrote that very first story of the Bad Guys on toilet paper in the middle of the night, because he was a guest in somebody's house. He didn't want to make a lot of noise. So you don't need anything special to become a writer. You just have to have determination, like Kathy Ace did. Boy, 10 years. I'm so happy for her. Okay, that's it then. Just remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry, who also has an even dozen of her Witch City mysteries. So she's also ready for streaming video. Anyway, everybody, have a wonderful day. Say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for everything. He saluted me, and I saluted him, because I really, really should have been a general. And by the way, next Tuesday, sitting right here in this seat, will be Devon Miller, because I am going to go to Texas. And so Devon Miller is going to come here and be that host of Joy on Paper for a day, and it's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to turning the microphone over to him. Anyway, everybody, have a great day. Bye-bye now.